morning and how are you doing today? I'm myself feeling a bit tired this morning. I think perhaps I could do with a second cup of coffee. Nevertheless, it's a joy to be with you again, and thank you for joining us on Open Bible Podcast, our Forward in Hope's daily devotional. We've been going through the book of Jonah, if you've been listening over the last few days, and today we're in chapter 3. We've been considering Jonah as a type of the Christian and the Christian's walk. And here, in this chapter, we're only going to find a little short part about Jonah, and the rest of the chapter will be about the city of Nineveh and their reactions. But before we get into that, let's just read the chapter together, shall we? Again, it's another fairly short chapter. So Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And again, we look to the Lord to bless that reading of his word to our hearts. Now, here we have Jonah, a renewed man, a restored man, a man now standing again on what we have called resurrection ground. We saw in the previous chapter how Jonah's being swallowed by that great fish 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and then brought up alive again. We saw this picture of death and resurrection. The connection with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is crystal clear, as brought to us in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 12. And here we see, as we consider this type of Jonah as a Christian, we see one who is now walking on resurrection ground. And the key little phrase really in these early verses is in verse 3. And we read the start of the verse. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And that's the simplicity, isn't it, of the Christian life. We have a hymn that we often sing, Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And now we see Jonah putting this into practice in his life. The word of the Lord comes to him again the second time, and now we read Jonah just listens to what the Lord says. He arises, he goes, and he speaks. He speaks that which God had told him to speak. And so in word and in deed, we see Jonah now walking according to the will of God, obedient to the word of God, and now he is able to bring glory to God. Now that's the way it should be for all of us in our lives as Christians. We should be seeking to read the word of God that we might know what God would say to us. And then we would seek to put that into practice in our lives. And this is the main thrust of this whole chapter, is the active response of faith. The active response of faith. Now here we have with Jonah what we may call a saved man. A man who has experienced death and resurrection. And we can think of that spiritually in the life of a Christian. Has been to the cross, identified themselves with Christ in death and in resurrection. And now we see the action, the response of that faith, of that life of faith, lived out in obedience to the Word of God. And as we go out with a message. We're not to just hold the Word of God to ourselves. God's plan right from the beginning was that His people would take His Word to the world around them and to be a blessing to the world around them. And it's crystal clear, isn't it? When we come to the Lord Jesus, we see that great commission He gives to His disciples at the very end. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now that gospel that we preach is to be the gospel that Christ preached. It's the gospel of God. It's what the gospel that's clearly identified for us in the scriptures. It's not another gospel. It's not a gospel with added parts, with changed parts. There are many people today who would seek to do that for their own ends, for riches, for power, whatever it is. They would seek to twist and change the gospel. But to stay true to the clear gospel of Christ, well, that brings blessing. And so we see it as Jonah goes into this city and he proclaims the message. There is a response. There's a spiritual response from this people, the Assyrian people. It says in verse 5, just very simply, the people believed God. And that's it, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. Faith is the saving thing. And we think of Romans 5. We are justified by faith. And there we find that these people, they believed God. But we need to understand something about this faith. And, you know, there's a great discussion that sometimes goes on about faith and works. And what is it that saves us? Is it faith alone or do we need works? And I think at times that this discussion is really just, it goes on because we don't really understand the definition of biblical faith. And we think of faith as just a set of beliefs. If we have the right set of beliefs, that we're saved. It's just a mind thing. But you know, in Scripture, faith is more than just something in the mind. It's more than just a creed or a doctrine or a set of beliefs. But faith is always active. Faith is that which is inside. Yes, it's in the heart. It's a fundamental belief in something. And that something is in God and in His Word. But that faith in God is then going to reveal itself in action. Stepping forward. You know, it says in Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, what kind of belief was that? Well, it was a belief that took Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and set his feet moving to follow after God, a life of faith lived in action, moving constantly as a pilgrim in this world, following after the Lord to wherever the Lord would lead him. And that was Abraham's faith. It wasn't just a sedentary faith where he continued doing whatever he was doing. And he said, no, I believe in God, yes. No, but it was a faith that moved. It was a faith that was active. We see it with the teachings of the Lord Jesus, how he could speak about it. The tree and the fruit of the tree. And, you know, the fruit of the tree indicates what kind of tree it is. And that's what we need to see in our life. And so we see it here in this chapter that these people believed God. This was saving faith. But that saving faith then was displaying itself in action. Now, what was the first thing? The first action that this saving faith displayed was repentance. You see, they believed the Word of God. They believed what God had said. And they understood that they were sinners and that judgment was coming. And so the first thing that this faith, this belief in this message of God demanded was that there would be repentance of sin. And from verse 6 down to verse 9 we have this proclamation from the king of Nineveh, the Assyrian king. Of all people, he has this spiritual insight, and he demands that all the people in the city, they prostrate themselves in repentance, casting off all of their riches and anything else that they may trust in, and just cover themselves in sackcloth and in ashes and cry out to God. That's what he says in verse 8. Cry mightily unto God. Cry mightily. Oh, that's what we need, isn't it, in our world today? We need people who are touched by the Word of God, who are moved by the Spirit of God, to recognize their sin and to cry mightily unto God for salvation. And we as believers, we ought to be doing the same, crying mightily unto God. For this king says, for who can tell if God will turn and repent? And they cried unto God that God would change his mind and that judgment would not fall, but that God would be gracious and merciful to them. And the chapter ends that and says, when God saw their works. And so from verse 5 we've got faith, and verse 10 we've got works. When God saw their works, those works were the outward expression of their faith. The works itself would not have saved them if there had been no faith. It was the faith that saved, but that faith is an active faith that demands there be works that follow. If there are no works that follow, then there's no faith to begin with. And that's the argument that James makes, isn't it? And so God saw their works. He saw the outward expression of their faith. He saw the fruit of their faith. He saw the reality of their faith. And he turned and he repented. Now it says he repented of the evil. It doesn't mean that God was doing evil or God was evil. But the evil was evil in the eyes of the Ninevites. Judgment was going to befall them. And they didn't want that. God repented of that judgment that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know, we read of this a number of times through Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, of God repenting. And it's very instructive and quite solemn as well to see that. First of all, in Noah's day, the Lord repented that he had made man. He saw the wickedness of man, that it was great. And then we find a bit later on in the days of Moses, when the Lord looked down from Mount Sinai, and Moses had gone up the mountain to get the commandments, and the people had built a golden calf, and it said the Lord repented. And he was going to judge the people, you see, for their sin, for their idolatry, for their wickedness. But what made the Lord repent of that evil, of that judgment? It was the intercession of Moses. It was the prayer of Moses. Moses was pleading with the Lord not to judge the people. He said, for what would the Egyptians think? You've just brought the people out of Egypt and then you're going to destroy them. What would the Egyptians think? Lord, don't judge them. Be merciful. And we read a lovely little phrase in Psalm 106 where it speaks of the repentance of God and the multitude of mercies. The repentance of God shows us the multitude of his mercies, that our God is a merciful God. But you see, in the days of Moses and again here in Jonah, it was this earnest intercession and prayer on the part of man that turned the heart of God. Now that really spoke to me this morning, you know, because I think at times we get this sense that God is a God who is in control. He's omniscient. He knows what he's doing, and everything's going to work like clockwork, and God in many ways is just working out his will, and nothing can change that. Well, I think we learn here that no, it can be changed, and we can change it through our prayers. And it just shows us the importance of our prayer life, to just be earnest before the Lord, to be honest before the Lord, to cry to the Lord that we might see his hand of mercy in this world around us, people being saved from the judgment that is to come. And so let that be a lesson to us, it's a lesson to me, that we may just get down more earnestly into this matter of praying for those who are under the judgment of God. So we trust those thoughts again are a help to you as we come to the end of chapter 3. We've got one more chapter in Jonah, and then we'll move on again to another book. Well, thanks for listening once again. Lord bless you.